Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. Today is a Thursday, so you come to our show having no idea who's going to be joining me. We had no idea up until very recently, but it all worked out for the best because you know who we've got? One of our faves, Ben Dixon. Ben, how's it going?
It's going great, John. Good to be here, man.
I'm very glad to have you here. I apologize that I am keeping you awake when you have been working so hard, and I know you need some sleep.
Oh,
I
appreciate
you being here.
No, man, anything for the team, man, for the Dragon Squad, right? Shout out to the Dragon Squad. Shout out to the Trap Squad, right? And the also Squirrel Gang and the Lion Squad. Like, there's so many, like, we're representing sets now. What's going on?
There's a zoo. There's a menagerie out there. Yeah. But you know, Dragon Squad, no big deal. Shop TYT. Everybody, I'm sure most people already know, but we're going live now. Ben's already been broadcasting for like 8 hours at this point.
Not totally so, 8 hours. I certainly have been up for 8 hours, but no, man, the morning show was great, and I'm ready to go, man. There's some you've got some great clips for us to respond to.
I just might, and so we've got about 90 minutes that we're gonna be hopefully joined by you as we take a tour through the news, and it's basically a tour through the bathroom, but that's what we got for you. Unfortunately, we're gonna be talking about the filibuster and Joe Biden, two things that go together like peanut butter and relish. And let's see, Fox News, are they actually changing on the vaccine? If they do, what might happen to them? We'll be attacking that in a little bit. AOC calls out the lazy ass people she needs to work with in Congress. We're gonna talk a little bit more about Jeff Bezos in space, but I swear I've got a good reason for it and it's burning me up inside. And then we are going to take seriously conspiracy theory. It's been floating around. It's not a conspiracy theory, but conspiracists are spreading it. That just wait. Donald Trump's gonna become president. They've got a plan. It's got points, and I've got some points to make about it. So we've got that for you, and then a whole bunch of other stuff too. Tucker Carlson attacks a cop. It's gonna be fun, you know? That's what we got. So if you would hit the like button and share the stream, that would be awesome. And as we go through, if you want to send us comments, tweets, super chats, stuff like that, we will respond to your questions, answer your concerns, and let you, you know, make fun of people and we'll laugh about it. So it's gonna be great. We're gonna do it together. And are you ready to do it, Ben?
Let's rock and roll, man.
Okay, let's do this thing. Joe Biden had a town hall, and at the town hall, he was asked about the difficulty that he is having, his side is having, in pursuing like all of its agenda. So the filibuster, the thing that's stopping him from passing bills, is it more important that he maintain that than make progress on his agenda? Well, he was asked that by Don Lemon.
If you agree with the former president, he is called your as you call him, your old boss, that it is a relic of Jim Crow.
It is.
If it's a relic of Jim Crow, it's been used to fight against civil rights legislation historically. Why protect it?
There's no reason to protect it other than you're going to throw the entire Congress into chaos and nothing will get done.
All right.
Nothing at all will get done.
Oh, that'd be such a change. I don't know how I would deal with that, how I would process this new reality where nothing is done in the Senate. And that, like, I'm joking, I'm being sarcastic, but I'm being sarcastic about something that is itself nonsensical. So Ben, if it were to be removed or significantly reformed, nothing would get done then. What do you think about that?
Well, the truth is, let's just cut to the truth. Joe Biden knows that if they got rid of the filibuster, then they would have no excuse as to why they're getting nothing done. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they need to maintain the filibuster to prevent the party from having to answer questions as to why they won't go ahead and do programs like Medicare for All when there's so many Americans who are dying from COVID-19 in the middle of the pandemic and we can't get substantive. So the filibuster is a convenient foil. It's a convenient foil for the Democratic Party. And he's now saying, oh my, there's nothing we will be able to get done when literally nothing is getting done right now.
Yeah. But I might disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
So let's play a fun game. The fun game is let's try to figure out exactly why a politician is dead ass wrong. He's definitely wrong, but why exactly? So I agree with you. In general, I think that there are multiple members of the Democratic Party that love having it as an excuse. So people like Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, maybe more than anyone. But I feel like Biden, and this is not a defense of Biden. Biden is, again, deadass wrong. I feel like he is actually insanely, irrationally,
okay, so
at least somewhat honest when he really believes that these troglodytes are gonna work with him. And and honestly, this might be worse than just being a coward who hides behind the filibuster so that nothing ever changes. To actually believe, like, I get corruption all over the place. The idea that you would actually believe these people are gonna work with you. He said, they know better than this. Mm. On voting rights, Ben, they know better than this. Do they know better than this, Ben?
Oh man, John. Yeah, that begs a lot of questions there. Okay, so let's unpack that. So I actually agree with you. Joe Biden has this unbelievable commitment to the institutions that are super constitutional, meaning that, you know, the institution of the filibuster is not in the Constitution. It is a Senate rule. He has this unbelievable commitment to something that, yes, so I agree with you. There's so many other levels to unpack there, but because of that, I really think that he believes that there is a common good inside of the opponents on the other side. He really sees them as friends, when in reality, they have demonstrated at every point in all ways, in every way imaginable, they are a threat to democracy as evidenced by January 6th.
Yeah, and I think, look, the world needs balance in some ways. You know, you have your Batman, you'll get your Joker and vice versa. I think, like, I don't know, are you a fan of Ted Lasso, Ben? Have you watched any Ted Lasso?
Oh, can't say that.
You don't have to, but it's a show about a guy who really tries to see the best in people. He's an optimist. He thinks that people can improve and things can work out. Mm-hmm. And that's great when the context is an Apple TV show about the Premier League. When it's about like the future of our democracy, you can be so firm in your belief of the inherent goodness of people that you become the villain. Like, if that is your excuse, I don't care if it seems nice or whatever, if it'd make a good poster. If it is what you then use that stops progress, that allows them to strip away people's voting rights, then you're the villain. You're a happy, smiley, nice villain, I guess, but you're still the villain because they don't deserve any of what you're saying about them. Like, it's been 6 months. Have they been willing to work with you? Have they shown any indication? They virtually every one of them still says that you're an illegitimate president, that you shouldn't be president, that you stole the election. They're gonna stop you from doing the infrastructure bill. They're gonna stop literally everything. And unfortunately, he's not alone, Ben. I tweeted angrily about that comment from him. And someone responded, oh, just because you're not getting everything on your wish list, all of a sudden he's bad. Like, everything on my wish list, what do you think is on my wish list? Also, what do you think has been done? There's been some executive orders that we've given him credit for that are perfectly good. They passed a stimulus bill, and it's been 6 months. So I'm not talking about my wish list. I'm a leftist. I'm not gonna get crap, and I accept that. We lost. So my life is gonna suck, and trust me, and politically it does. I'm not talking about my wish list. I'm talking about his list of campaign promises,
right?
Do you expect that he should have to make good on some of them? And when he seems to be more passionate about the opposition to his agenda than his agenda itself, the question isn't why I'm mad. The question is, why are you not?
That's the question, man. That's one of the questions that it begs, right? Check this out. So he has a commitment to these institutions based on the premise that he can believe in the good faith of these Republicans, right? Let's play a different game. Republicans don't, this is gonna be harsh, but I'm gonna show it and I'm gonna prove it. Republicans don't care about their children. They don't have the instinct of self-preservation for themselves anymore. They're dying for the sake of their politics, COVID-19, but they extend that lack of self-preservation to their children because they want their children to go back to school with no mask and no vaccine and pack them herd immunity. They don't care. Now, Mr. President, you got to tell me something. Are those reasonable, rational? You cannot be rational with irrational people. You cannot be reasonable with unreasonable people. Republicans have proven themselves to be unreasonable. So the question remains in the balance, Joe Biden, what are you trying to triangulate with here?
Exactly. Yeah, and you can wish that you could get through to them. I understand that. I grew up watching Star Trek. I want the world to be a good place, but I can't just pretend that it is. Like, I want to get through to conservatives and get them to care about whether they live or die from COVID. But I'm not going to let my obvious inability to do that stop me or by, you know, the people who are more directly involved in it actually saving other people's lives. Like, you are willing to let this whole thing blow up in your effort to try to get a couple of Republicans to sign on to something. Who cares? Just get it done. That's more, getting it done is more important. If you can get some of them over to your team, all the better. But if you can't, you still have to get it done. That's the goal. Now, he had more to say. Here is a little bit more of Joe Biden at last night's town hall talking about the filibuster.
So why is protecting the filibuster, is that more important than protecting voting rights, especially for people who fought and died for that?
No, it's not. I want to see the United States Congress, the United States Senate, pass S1 and S4, the John Lewis Act, get them to my desk so I can sign them. But here's the deal. What I also want to do, I want to make sure we bring along not just all the Democrats. We bring along Republicans who I know better. But what I want to do is I'm trying to bring the country together. And I don't want the debate to only be about whether or not we have a filibuster or exceptions to the filibuster or the going back to the way the filibuster had to be used before.
But isn't that the only way you're going to get it done right now?
No, I don't believe that. I think we can get it done.
John, can I ask you a question?
Please.
Joe Biden has presented to us a Sisyphean task. We're going to forever be chasing bipartisanship with these Republicans because Joe Biden has put in front of us an impossible task of triangulating with people who have let us know that they have no intention of working with us whatsoever. I just need to know, is he the boulder, the mountain, Sisyphus, or the cruel God that put us at, what role is Joe Biden playing in this? Cause I'm tired of it.
I get like, what I want, oh God, what I want him to be in the metaphor, because the most amazing thing about this is not that he's president and he's not gonna do anything to accomplish his agenda. It's that the guy has been trying for longer than I've been alive to become president to then do nothing.
You trained your whole life for this, that's, Joe Biden. Come on.
Yeah, that's like a Greek myth. You did all that to just die, to accomplish? Why? Why would you do that? That's crazy, man. You are crazy. Let's pass the John Lewis Voting Act. Oh, okay. So you've been talking about that for a few months. How many Republicans have signed on? Have you gotten one? Because I got news for you, that doesn't get you past the filibuster. And that's the John Lewis Voting Act. That's not the For the People Act. That's a much smaller, more specific thing. He can't get like one person to sign on to that. And so, like he said, like, is it more important to preserve the filibuster than to give voting rights? That's what Don Lemon asked. And he says, no. And then he keeps saying yes. You say no, you explain yes, though. You clearly do think it's more important. Because and it's just an evasion to say, no, we can have both. We can have the filibuster and still get it done. No, you can't. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's unfortunately up to a few Republicans and possibly Joe Manchin. That's who it's up to. You don't have control over that. You need to do something else because this is crazy. And these bills aren't stopping around the country. And let me just throw out this for the obvious, like, oh, but you said you wanted Biden. Yes, it would still be worse if there were Trump. This is terrible. Okay. Yes. And I think I've shown I'm willing to criticize him. I'm in the middle of it right now. But yes, it would be worse if it was Trump. Obviously, you little baby.
Oh, man. John,
God, this country.
Is this the best Western civilization can do? Okay, classical liberals.
This is what, okay, so every once in a while you'll have like, you know, Ben Shapiro or Tucker Carlson say like, this is what the white man has created. Yeah, but it sucks, man. Like, he should have done something different. Is this good? Yes, we have many different flavors of microwavable popcorn, but they're a more important thing. Anyway, Ben.
I'm sorry, John.
Okay, let's take our first break. take our first break, and then we're going to delve into, I can't believe it, more depressing stuff than that coming up after this. Everybody for being here. Before we jump back in the news, and we do have a lot, I do want to let you know that after the show today, you can continue to watch with Dr. Rashad Ritchie and Dina Dahl, co-hosts. They're going to have a debate with Nate Hotchman. This is Indisputable. YouTube.com/IndisputableTYT. You should know this by now. And you should know this going forward. You know why? Because it's no longer an 8-week run. It's no longer a summer thing. It's permanent, baby. It has been picked up by TYT. And it will be going on forward. So that means you get more bullpen debates with conservatives, more Wish of Karen Wood, more Dr. Ritchie and his amazing set of co-hosts that he has, his amazing team. That's going to continue on to the future. So why not sign on? Go to youtube.com/IndisputableTYT and you can subscribe and watch the show going forward. Also, later on today, right after Indisputable, we don't give you a break, man. It's just 1, 2, 3. That's a lot of news for you. We've got Ray Actions with Rayvana, which is coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Rayvana was one of our two Twitch pitch winners. And so you can see Rayvana on Ray Actions. You can also see Rayvana coming up very soon on the Damage Report. What do you know? I can't confirm a date, but it's going to happen very soon. So I definitely look forward to that. And with that, why don't we get back into the news?
America, we're in this together.
And if you can, get the vaccine.
For information on vaccine sites, visit the Vaccine Finder on the homepage of foxnews.com.
What? That was a PSA on Fox, and did they say to get it? I heard that right. Yeah, no, they said to get it. They said you should get the vaccine. And this is sort of capping off a week of occasional begrudging acknowledgement of the seriousness of COVID. Let's see, you had Steve Ducey encouraging people. You had Sean Hannity saying to take it seriously. He didn't say go get vaccinated, but he said to take it seriously. You had Brian Kilmeade, in the middle of spreading massive misinformation that would lead people not to get the vaccine. He did say that he was vaccinated, so that's all good. However, you know what's coming earlier in this week after Sean Hannity told people to take it seriously. Tucker Carlson seemed to, without naming him, after all, he is a massive coward, throw some shade at him. That continues, by the way. Let's see what happened on Tucker Carlson last night.
Why all of a sudden in the last 48 hours has there been this almost coordinated effort of people on the establishment center right kind of virtue signaling and telling every single person to get vaccinated while we're starting to see this kind of disturbing increase of activity on the VAERS database?
Okay, so Charlie Kirk also a magnificent coward because he's just talking about Fox. That's all he's talking about. He won't say it. He won't say who. Who's coordinating on the establishment center right? Oh, you don't want to say because you got no balls. But anyway, but he is attacking them. He was brought on Tucker Carlson to do this, Ben. So to what extent do you think Fox is changing? And what does this, is at least a schism, if not a civil war that seems to be developing on what Fox should do in this area? What does it mean to you?
I'm trying to process this. And now Charlie Kirk in that clip is saying that he had a problem with the establishment making arrangements for the vaccine. Did I hear that correctly?
Mm-hmm. That the establishment right is encouraging.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Fox News is the O.J. Simpson of the news media. They are guilty as hell of all these people believing exactly what they needed them to believe to spread the pandemic as far as it spread. They have the blood of hundreds of thousands of Americans on their hands. And now they want to say, oh, the shoe didn't fit or the glove, whatever it was. Y'all can finish the analogy. The point is they got caught red-handed. Mm-hmm. And they got red-handed with the vaccine passport, no less. The very thing that they're telling and encouraging their supporters not to do, they required for them to come into Fox News. And now that story has leaked, they all of a sudden are like,
yeah,
let's all go get vaccinated. Charlie Kirk is, he's supposed to be the smart one on the side of the conservative movements. I really don't have much to say about him because I just think he's like the intelligence is really lacking there. So that's, yeah.
I asked that question partly to mock him. Partly though, I honestly don't know. I don't know like enough about these personalities to say why a group would like one versus another, but I can't imagine he's known as the smart one. Isn't Ben Shapiro supposed to be the intellectual gladiator? It's ridiculous. It's all PR.
Aquaman?
Like, he's
Aquaman Ben Shapiro.
True. Yeah. So look, I agree. I think that Fox changing this late in the game, we can still criticize that. But that said, it's not changing uniformly. I mean, Tucker Carlson attacked Sean Hannity without naming him because, again, he's a coward. Charlie Kirk was brought on to do the same thing. Again, how any right winger has ever been thought of as an alpha, I find to be amazing. Like, name an actual name. In the same way that you keep saying you have questions and I'm begging you to ask the actual question, say anything specific, you little cowards, but they won't. And that said, it's not Tucker Carlson who's attacking Fox right there, except that he kind of is. Because while it is Charlie Kirk that's talking there, I noticed a couple little tells. So I want to go through two tells. One is from when Charlie Kirk was talking, and the other is the way he says goodbye to Charlie Kirk. Here's Tucker.
While we're starting to see this kind of disturbing increase of activity on the VAERS database.
Yeah, it is disturbing. Coordination, yeah, I'm suspecting maybe you're right in your hunch there, Charlie Kirk. Great to see you tonight, thanks so much.
The hell was that? Like, as Charlie Kirk's like, why are they coordinating? Tucker Carlson's like got that Grinch smile. He loved that Charlie Kirk was criticizing Sean Hannity. And that it doesn't make sense that he was thinking of anyone other than Sean Hannity and Fox for that like guilty smile. And then, oh, and then at the end, he's like, you're right. Maybe it is coordination. I'm only thinking of this now. I haven't thought of this before. That's your thought. I'm just reacting in real time. God, you little weenie.
Oh,
just
man.
Say that Sean Hannity's corrupt or whatever. Call him a shill. That plays well on the internet. God,
yeah, I missed that.
Babies.
No, that was actually, no, I missed that. But well, here's the thing that threw me off. Charlie Kirk just said the VAERS database and really had no real substantive reason to be connecting his argument to that, except for every now and then Republicans like to just say stuff that makes them sound smart. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, they are, I mean, they are really not the brightest. Whatever. I mean, Charlie Kirk really does not deserve to have the platform that he has, but because he's willing to go as far as Tucker Carlson wants him to go on behalf of this COVID conspiracy, and he just says the VAERS database, all of a sudden he gets the platform on Fox News to help spread this misinformation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can only imagine other, you know, equivalents to Charlie Kirk are going to be like attacking, even worse, attacking Fox, knowing that that increases their chances of being brought on. And by the way, the lack of intelligence and the VAERS thing, we're going to have a video for you in a little bit that is hilarious.
Like, because I'm still trying to figure that out.
Like, I'm surprised Charlie Kirk was able to turn on his computer this morning, honestly. I want to focus a little bit more on Tucker Carlson. So as I have been trying to make the case here, Tucker Carlson is a massive weenie, a little coward who will never specifically say anything as he obviously is campaigning for people to not get vaccinated. And I wanna show you a little bit more of his squirrely language. So here he is, he's gonna have Charlie Kirk on or whatever, but here he is talking about the media.
I mean, why is a news channel doing this? Any news channel, a lot of them are. I mean, CNN's in-house doctor ran Planned Parenthood. She's not in the life-saving business. These are not physicians. These are not experts. And yet they're speaking with this moral authority. You must do this because we know. And of course, they don't know. And questions that anyone else raises, including on this show, they shout down immediately with slurs. Like, when did this become their role to do stuff like this?
Okay, so again, he gave the examples of CNN, but they've been encouraging vaccination for months. The only thing that's changed in the past couple of days is Fox, with things like the PSA bringing on their Fox doctor to encourage it and all that. So he can pretend that he's attacking CNN. He's obviously attacking Fox News. But there, he said a couple of things that I found to be amazing, Ben. He said they're acting as if they know, but they don't know. And he just sort of like, he didn't say what is it that they're pretending they know, but they don't know. Again, why won't you be specific? Let's fill in the blanks. They know what? They know how much less likely you are to get COVID if you have the vaccine. No, we do know about that, about how much less likely you are to have a severe case of COVID that puts you in a hospital. No, we do know about that, about how much less likely you are to die if you have the vaccine. We do know about that, Tucker, which is why you won't ever say specifically what you want to know. And again, he says, Why did they slur me if I say I have questions? Stop saying you have questions and ask a goddamn question. That's what I want out of you, you little coward. Say anything specific. But he won't, and they don't expect it. He just babbles on and on with his weird plastic face making weird expressions, and they pretend that he's really saying something when he is never, ever, very specifically not saying anything. Others can hide behind ignorance. Charlie Kirk can try to make a point and he'll never land on anything because he's a dumb individual. Tucker Carlson is by design not saying anything specific, nothing verifiable, nothing that can be fact checked because he's not even pretending to say any facts.
Right.
Sorry, Ben, any thoughts?
No, I'm just processing everything that you're saying. Like, he's literally there to say nothing, but to say it in a very fashionable way that resonates in the soul of the white supremacists in this country, the ones that marched up the steps of the Capitol on January 6th, man. You already said it. You nailed that.
Well, look, I know that you seem interested in Charlie Kirk. How intelligent is he? We're gonna figure it out together right now.
Oh, Ben. Man, so, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
It's gonna be fun. On Tucker Carlson last night, Charlie Kirk made some references to the VAERS database. It is this entirely voluntary thing that people can put on supposed interactions with or complications having to do with vaccines that is not checked, totally voluntary. But he made references to it. Do you know what he was saying that same day before he went on Tucker? That didn't stop him from being brought on, by the way. Here is Charlie Kirk and his theory about the VAERS database and how dangerous this vaccine truly is.
So, if VAERS is off by 99%, that would mean 1.2 million people died after getting the vaccine. If VAERS is off by 90%, that means that, make sure I get my math right here. That's right. If VAERS is only calculating 10%, that means 123,000 people died. Is that right, Connor? Yeah, 1.2 million. That's right. 1.2 million, actually would be, yeah, that's right. More than double the number of people who have died from COVID in the US. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying that according to how we calculate VAERS by the independent study that was administered, this could be true.
Okay, so I don't watch his show, but I'm willing to say that without the millions in free advertising that he gets, there's no way anybody would, because that is unwatchable, even as propaganda. I could be desperate to be lied to about COVID, and I would not willingly sit through that. That is unwatchable garbage right there. Is it 10% of the, do I have this right? Did you prep at all for this? Jeez, script your nonsense if you're going to try to spout it. But anyway, what he was trying to say there was, well, if VAERS is indicating that so many people are dying and it only is capturing about 1% of the cases, then that could mean, great Scott, 1.2 million people have died. Now, I'm not saying that because, again, that would be making a concrete claim that could be rebutted. And I don't ever want to be rebutted. I want to just be a big butt. So anyway, he doesn't say that. He's just saying it and then moving on, Ben. Maybe it killed twice as many people as COVID itself has killed, maybe.
I've got nothing creative or fancy or anything, you know, in history or literature to really compare to the level of stupidity that we have seen rise and foment to the top of the conservative consensus in this country. Well, I guess I just did it right there. These fools, they get rewarded. They get rewarded for stupidity.
That's it. Yeah, it's. They get very well paid, but I appreciate your alliteration there. Yes, so look, just in case you come out of watching that, well, first of all, you're not coming out of that really thinking anything, because just watching it for like 5 consecutive seconds leads you to lose all faith in science, I suppose. I guess that's the goal. And also wonder how one man can simultaneously have so much forehead and so much cheek on one face. How do you fit so much that aren't sensory organs on the front of a skull? But anyway, that's below me. No. I would engage more with the substance, but there's so little. But anyway, he did talk about VAERS there, and he's not the only one. Tucker Carlson is constantly going on about VAERS and saying that if I can find something negative that's on VAERS, then clearly you should be scared of the vaccine. The issue is they never talk about the fundamental nature of what VAERS actually is. So let's do that. This is, by the way, not from a right winger. This is from the VAERS website that says, while very important in monitoring vaccine safety, VAERS reports alone cannot be used to determine if a vaccine caused or even contributed to an adverse event or illness. The reports may contain information that is incomplete, inaccurate, coincidental, or unverifiable. In large part, reports to VAERS are voluntary, which means they are subject to biases. This creates specific limitations on how the data can be used scientifically. Data from VAERS reports should always be interpreted with these limitations in mind. And yet, they are not being. Not because they don't know what VAERS is or its limitations, but because those limitations, were they to be acknowledged, would undercut their BS.
John, you said something earlier that I think really like nails it, right? Like they have incentives built into what they do to never ever make a concrete argument against which we could provide receipts and data. In that way, they have us forever punching against a moving target. And they know that. And so they have a vested interest in ignoring science. And as much as I'm like kind of waxing poetic today, I really just want to say they have upped the ante though, right? We're no longer just the rejection, this 1984 rejection of 2+2. That's no longer the biggest request. The biggest request now is that you reject your instinct for survival because y'all are dying for this stupidity.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And like you were saying earlier, not just your instinct for your own survival, but the most primal drive to save the lives of your children. They have found a way to short circuit that most essential drive to see your children survive.
Anyway. And it's white supremacy.
Yeah, it turns out like they are so committed to white supremacy, they'll see white kids die for it. But wait, isn't that the whole goal? It's securing homeland for white children. That's like their words.
They're worried about their populations dying out and y'all killing yourselves. Don't wear a mask. Stop wearing y'all masks. It's gonna be a pretty brown future. The future is black and progressive.
That's true. It's like how QAnon says they care about kids, but they don't care about Matt Gaetz or any of that stuff. It's like they don't like fake pedophilia, but they're perfectly fine with real pedophilia. In the same way, they're like obsessed with white genocide in South Africa, and they're participating in white genocide in Georgia. Anyway.
Oh,
don't
man.
Die, conservatives. I care about your life more than Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson do combined. That said, this is going to make people uncomfortable. We have a continuing thing we're doing where we're willing to give credit to some of the worst people in America if they will do the bare minimum, which is to encourage people who unfortunately trust them more than they do us to get vaccinated. And so this is a difficult one, but I want you to take a look at this video.
So here's, I think, the most important thing with the data. If you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, the chance of you getting seriously ill or dying from COVID is effectively zero. If you look at the people that are being admitted to hospitals, over 95% of them are either not fully vaccinated or not vaccinated at all. And so these vaccines are saving lives. They are reducing mortality. Mortality in nursing homes since we rolled out the vaccines in December is down over 95% due to COVID. Mortality for elderly people since we rolled out the vaccines is down nearly 90%. And so we're proud in Florida that we put seniors first on that because they were the most vulnerable.
Okay, quick note. They're putting seniors first. As a person who lost a senior member of my family in Florida, he can go to hell. I regrettably, as an atheist, don't believe in it, but I really want to. I really wish there was something waiting for DeSantis. That said, my own personal biases due to loss of life in my family aside, Florida is being very hard hit, Ben. More than 20% of all the COVID cases per day are just in Florida, and potentially a lot of lives are on the line. So, how much credit should we give DeSantis for encouraging people to get vaccinated?
John, I'm sorry you lost an elder as a result of this foolishness. That. And I just think about all of the people, 630,000 families that are suffering because of this. Had Republicans just done this at the beginning of the pandemic, I'm quite sure there would be at least, what, 400,000 people still alive.
I think that is entirely possible.
Yeah, that's all I got, man, because it's the disingenuousness that. And but it's fine. At least they're here now. You guys are here now. And so thankfully, we're going to save a lot of lives because Republicans have finally come to some self-preservation instinct.
Yeah, I hope so. And look, I'm not going to pretend that I can't tell what people's motivations are. Yeah, like it's a good thing. Yay. I'm glad. I don't want more people to die in Florida. He's thinking about becoming president and he doesn't want his record to look even worse than it already will, because even though some people have been weirdly convinced that Florida did well in the pandemic, that's not in any way true. Tons of people died that didn't need to. That said, you know, we see it, like grifters love to turn on each other. So it's going to be interesting to see, is Tucker Carlson or Charlie Kirk going to start attacking Ron DeSantis now? How open are they willing to be? Again, they don't like naming names because they're cowards, but will they go after DeSantis particularly? They ignore when Trump encourages vaccination. They just don't talk about it at all because they don't agree with him, but they also don't want to be seen criticizing him. Will that apply to DeSantis, I wonder? Any thoughts?
I let them fight. I'm thinking of the Godzilla scene. You know, you see two monsters. Neither one of them have done good for anyone. Let them fight.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Okay, everybody, we've got a second break, but come back in just a few. Well, actually, most of you are still going to see this, but if you're on linear, come back in just a few because AOC has got a bone to pick with some of her colleagues. We'll show you that after this. Why don't we jump into this next story? Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is once again in Congress speaking about her public banking bill, which we're going to give you details on in just a few. And she became despondent because the questions she was receiving from Republicans had literally nothing to do. It was actually in the bill. I can imagine that would be frustrating. Here's how she responded to it.
I learned a while ago, you know, when I first got to Congress, I thought, man, people definitely study what they're talking about here. Then I got here and I realized that people don't even, a lot of my colleagues don't even read the bills that they are commenting on. But for anyone who is curious, it's right here at the desk. We're making lots of statements that have nothing to do with the legislation. And frankly, you know, if I made comments that very publicly demonstrated that I didn't read the legislation I was discussing, I'd be embarrassed. But that is an aside.
It's an aside. I appreciate it. Ben, what did you think?
Oh, that brilliant sister. She just tapped into the essence of everything we're talking about right now. The confidence of their mediocrity, man. Like these fools get into Washington, D.C. and they're like, oh, we're rich. We're conservative. We're white men. All we have to do is conjure up anger like Lindsey Graham did on behalf of Brett Kavanaugh, who conjured up anger on behalf of trying to protect himself from his history. And that's all they had to do is go up there and be angry. And he became the Supreme Court justice who loves beer, right? But no, you know, when we talk about the discernible skill set of these politicians, like they're sorely lacking. And I would be, for one, embarrassed to be known to be this stupid as an elected official in the United States of America.
Yeah.
AOC said it. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Ben, that is what you just described there makes total sense to me and is also a reason why I guess you're never going to make it in Congress, baby.
Nah.
You have to have, like, you think, you think that Louis Gohmert finishes a speech, goes back to his office, and is like, I worry I really didn't sell that. My constituents have high expectations of me. Am I making good on those? No.
John, I get if I edit my podcast incorrectly, I'm like, I'm really disappointed in myself. I've fallen. Yeah. These people would get up there and literally would lead to the, there was no necessary apocalypse necessary. They would be the cause of the apocalypse and expect us to thank them. That's what we're dealing with here.
No, if I was a senator and I like tried to disprove climate change by bringing a snowball onto the floor, I would hide in the woods for the rest of my life, but these people can't be shamed, which means that while what AOC said there, I totally agree with, I get it. I wish that shame worked in government. These people cannot be shamed. Marjorie Greene, She knows who she is to the extent that she can know anything. She knows who she is. She's fine with it. I don't know how. I couldn't bear a few seconds of it, but she knows who she is. And so, look, not reading the bill is bad enough, or I would say more importantly, not being familiar with what's in the bill so that you can ask intelligent questions. The bigger issue, of course, is not engaging with the actual issues that face the American people. So now we're gonna turn to the opposite of that, the, I don't know, four people in government who try to, including AOC, who held that hearing on the public banking bill. So let's jump ahead a little bit and find out what it's intended to do. Hopefully some Republican congresspeople watch this video so they'll know too. The Public Banking Act would foster the creation of public banks across the country by providing them a pathway to getting started, establishing an infrastructure for liquidity and credit facilities for them via the Federal Reserve, and setting up federal guidelines for them to be regulated. Essentially, it would make it easier for public banks to exist, and it would give some of them grant money to get started. So the basic idea is to make it possible for state and local governments, local businesses, and people to do business with public banks, which theoretically would be more motivated to do public good and invest in their communities than private institutions, which are out for profit. The intent of the proposal is to try to guarantee a more equitable recovery from COVID by providing an alternative to Wall Street banks for state and local governments, businesses, and ordinary people, and by ensuring such banks provide services to historically excluded and marginalized groups. The public banking bill also does double duty as a climate bill. It would prohibit public banks from investing in or doing business with the fossil fuel industry. And so, as with many other pieces of legislation that either Representative Ocasio-Cortez or other members of the squad had put forward, they are solving problems, addressing actual issues out there with an understanding of the sort of intersectionality of public policy, how it affects different areas, and trying to make, regardless of what area of the economy that they're working on, whether it's public housing, public banking, whatever, they're also understanding that all of this interfaces in some way with the climate crisis. And so they have an understanding of that. I can't say that every detail in this legislation is perfect. That's beyond my pay grade, but it certainly seems like a good idea worthy of serious discussion in Congress.
I consider the motivation behind banks like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and the fact that during the pandemic, banks like that made somewhere between the tune of $24 and $32 billion in overdraft fees during the pandemic. We need public banks. That's it. That's all I got to say. We need public banks.
Jesus. Okay, well, let me give you just a little bit more. This is so Rashida Tlaib, also writer of the legislation, said it's long past time to open doors for people who've been systemically shut out and provide a better option for those grappling with the costs of simply trying to participate in an economy they have every right to, but has been rigged against them. A great statement by Representative Tlaib. Public banks are uniquely able to address the economic inequality and structural racism exacerbated by the banking industry's discriminatory policies and predatory practices. Public banks empower states and municipalities to establish new channels of public investment to help solve systemic crises. So there's another area. Again, I know there's people who somehow have convinced themselves that structural racism doesn't exist, but banking is certainly one of the areas that it has existed in since there have been banks. Yeah. Right now, by the way, 6% of adults don't have any sort of bank account. This could help in many parts of the world, including in many parts of the country, including in rural parts of the country, to fill that gap. So this is what we need. We need an endless string of pieces of legislation like this. But again, like unless it's put in the reconciliation bill, is it gonna pass with a filibuster? Why would a Republican turn against this? I don't know, but my gut says that they will.
John, I've been unbanked before. I have been one of the people who had to stand in line at check cashing store before. And the only reason I say that is because a lot of times in these conversations, we really we don't really identify with how many people actually go through these things, right? Yeah. And I want everybody to just take a minute and ask yourself how much money you would have left over if the banks did not take overdraft fees from you over the last 5 years and what you could have done with that. That's why we need public banks. And this is what makes Republicans so insidious. While we laugh at their stupidity is a facade to make sure that we never really get some public goods like a public bank.
Exactly. Okay, we have a few more minutes in this first hour, so we're gonna move on to our last story. For the conspiracy theorists and smears out there, this is the D block and we're covering it, okay? So get ready for that. Jeff Bezos joined the billionaire space club earlier this week and it was the talk of the town. A lot of it mocking, which I liked, but it was talked about quite a bit. How much? Well, Media Matters has done an analysis. And there were 212 minutes of broadcast TV morning show coverage on his July 20th flight, 212 minutes. The entirety of their coverage of the climate crisis last year was 267 minutes. So pretty comparable. One day's space flight by a billionaire and the crisis of our climate. And look, they acknowledge that, you know, in 2021, these shows have been doing a little bit better. They've been covering some of the extreme weather events and in some cases, although far too rarely, linking it to climate change. But I mean, this really does crystallize the priorities for these sorts of shows, Ben.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with the level to which we're comfortable making idols on this planet. Like we lift up people like Jeff Bezos, that's who we're gonna lift. I guess the proverbial object that went into space yesterday, just the tip of space is emblematic of, anyway, I have a lot of jokes here that I can really go through, but I'm not, cause I don't know where we're broadcasting. But the point is this, y'all, we could do better. We need new, actually no idols, no gods, no masters, no billionaires. Sit down, Jeff Bezos, and let's take care of this planet before you go and just try to colonize space.
And I know that he'd been planning to do it for a while. Like he wanted to get in that, you know, and I don't know, rocket anatomy. I guess it would be the shaft or whatever. He wanted to get in there and he wanted to fly. But the thing was, with Branson getting so much criticism, there was time for him to pull out and he didn't. Anyway, God, we're the worst. So here's the thing. I want to help solve this problem. It's not enough to just point out that there is a problem. So to those morning shows, like you, I get it. A rocket going off, that's, you know, you want to see that explosion, whatever. That's going to be great. Okay, that's exciting. You know what else is exciting, I guess, while tragic? Climate change. Because the thing is, like, you could do a bunch of coverage of, for instance, the floods in China. So death toll is rising. You know, they love when there's like death and these sorts of things. Subways are flooding. You can show the screenshot anytime. And you know, like people in the subways are potentially losing their lives. It's devastating flooding there. You know, if you don't want to go that far, you know, they don't love covering China. They don't want to seem like they're too positive on China. Europe is flooding as well. Deadly floods in multiple countries that are devastating towns, tearing apart castles and taking many lives. You get to talk about that. How about this? Siberia's currently on fire. Literally millions of acres have burned. It's causing what they're calling the airpocalypse. And I thought you guys loved those sorts of terms. That's just this week. There's five heat waves, five heat domes in the Northern Hemisphere right now as we're filming this. That's 1 week. You could find stuff to talk about if you really wanted to. And I would really like it if you would prioritize it a bit more in the future. Anyway, we've only got another minute, but final thoughts, Ben, on this?
I don't know what's wrong with me today, but the apotheosis of capitalism is Jeff Bezos going into space. And the result of it is the destruction of our environment. Folks, we deserve better.
We do. And there's not much time. Okay, we are rapidly running out of time. So I will remind you as we close out this first hour that we are going to be returning after a short break. We're going to have about 25 more minutes for you talking about things like Trump possibly becoming speaker, Tucker Carlson going after one of the Capitol Police members who fought the mob, as well as a video game company currently being sued, some really horrible details there. But once we're done with that, you've still got more to look forward to, including Indisputable with Dr. Rashad Ritchie. That'll be coming up right after our program. Right after that 90-minute show, you've got Reactions with Rayvanna, one of our Twitch Pitch winners. So that'll be broadcasting on Twitch. So we are just getting started. And that takes you most of the way to the Young Turks. So we got a lot to look forward to coming up today. But that said, to our linear audience, thank you. For those of you on YouTube and Twitch, we will have more for you in just a few.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.